Hey guys, this is Soli J. I finally got a chance to get back on the microphone. And for those of you that didn't listen to the last show, I don't even want to call it a show, it's just a bunch of blurb. I talked about my Roswell trip. The sound was pretty crappy due to the fact that I was recording late at night. It was about, 1 in the morning, and I didn't want to wake anybody up, so I was pretty much just whispering through the whole thing. And I didn't know how to record, and I'm still all new to all this stuff. My microphone's not the best, so please keep that in mind. Anyway, I wanted to tell you guys what I was up to. Lately, I've been reading this book that I picked up at Roswell. It's written by Dr. Bruce Maccabee. It's called Abduction in My Life. And it reads like a novel. I haven't finished it. I'm about a third of the way through it. And it reads pretty good. The thing that I find kind of awkward is that he grabs a lot of text from a different book, or different books, I should say. And I don't know how I feel about that. Now, overall, the book makes sense, but to me, it just seems like this was the easy way out to, you know, to write a longer book. I don't know. You guys give it a go and see what you think. Another thing I wanted to talk to you about. I finally got a chance to sit down and watch the tape that I bought from Dennis Balthaser himself, which is, he's such a great guy. If you guys don't know who he is, he used to work for the UFO Museum a while back, in 97 through 2000. Anyway, the tape is called Interception. He had told me what it was about, but I had never heard about this. I don't know if you guys have. Dennis Balthaser, he worked at the UFO Museum. And while he was there, he was contacted by somebody who claimed to have been the son of a person who was at the Roswell crash site. And he claims that there's so much commotion going on that his father was actually able to pick up a piece of debris and put it in his pocket without anybody noticing. And he's kept it this whole time. And for some reason or other, he decided to contact Dennis and tell him about this. Well, the debris that he supposedly picked up was something that looked like foil paper. And when you crumble it and you let it go, within seconds it would just straighten back out, like as if nothing had happened. It sounds pretty interesting and all. So Dennis was supposed to meet this person, this son of the person who had picked up the material. And I'm not allowed to say exactly what happened, because Dennis is real good about copywriting all his lectures, and I sure as heck don't want to get in trouble. I'm a nobody. But I'll summarize pretty much what happened. The day that Dennis was supposed to meet this person, and I'm guessing he was just either going to show him the material or let him have it for the museum, he was actually not able to get in contact with this, we'll call him the son. He couldn't get in contact with the son, and the phone line that he'd been calling kept being answered by this lady, and the lady said that he was out of town. And he thought it was kind of strange, you know, because they had already talked about meeting that day at a certain time at a certain place. After a few calls, he finally got the lady to say, well, he said, go ahead and meet him at such and such restaurant at such and such time. Well, Dennis got there, and before he knew it, a couple of government agents, I don't want to say exactly who they were, what they did, but they sat down with him and they said, the person that you were supposed to meet up with is not going to make it tonight. And right then and there, he knew that something was pretty much wrong. And I can only imagine the feeling that Dennis had that day, that same exact second when he was told these words. And I'm not going to go much more than this. You guys should pretty much check it out. He's a lot better at explaining all this than I am. Again, I actually bought this from Dennis at Roswell when I went on my trip. He was was at the convention center. But anyway, if you guys are interested in buying his any of his material, take a look at www.truthseekeratroswell.com, and you can find quite a few of his lectures and DVDs and things he's got on there. Now, another thing I'd like to talk about is I came across this video, and it's pretty old. It's from July 9th of this year, and it's entitled David Sirita on Fox 4 News, where he's interviewed about his new documentary called From Here to Andromeda. So let's take a listen.
Hey, I got a question for you. Do you believe in aliens and UFOs? Well, millions of Americans say they do, and many more, well, they disagree. But back in 1947, many people reported seeing a saucer crash in Roswell, New Mexico. And for decades now, it has been debated that the government covered it up and that the remains of the saucer are hidden, tucked away at Area 51 in Nevada. Thousands are now gathering in Roswell to celebrate the anniversary of the crash, and one man says a deathbed confession will change everything you think about what happened that fateful day. Joining us now, the director of the documentary From Here to Andromeda, David Sirita.
David,
happy 4th of July to you guys.
Happy 4th of July. Go for it. Kelly?
David, tell us about this documentary, From Here to Andromeda, and what it basically, what's the premise of it?
Well, the film starts with global warming and kind of a look at, you know, at the possibility that life may end on Earth. On September 1st, 2006, Popular Mechanics reported, if we destroy this planet, will science find us a new one? So in the film, I look at global warming, sustainability, and how ultimately we can get to another planet somewhere out there to sustain human life. And remarkably, you know, near the end of the film in Dallas, Texas, we get an interview with a Lockheed Martin senior research scientist who worked for Lockheed in advanced aircrafts and classified aircrafts for 20 years. He worked for Texas Instruments, General Dynamics. He designed the Stinger missile, which was called the Red Eye. And he testifies on camera that we shot down the Roswell flying saucer, that he is friends with a Navy doctor who treated a young pilot who, you know, got the call that, that, you know, we're in a post-World War II environment. There's, according to these FBI documents that were just released, the FBI on their website under FOIA, there are over 2,000 pages of formally classified UFO documents, and it looks like there were UFOs all over this country in 1947 preceding Roswell. So we were actually trying to find out who they were.
David, let me ask you
and
this, though.
And it looks like we shot it down.
David, all right, interesting stuff, but you've got to admit you don't have smoking gun proof of UFOs. I mean, the testimony, somebody said he had a friend, Navy doctor, and he saw this stuff, even in the documents, not yet smoking gun proof that you're looking for, correct?
No, I wouldn't say that, because if you look at the credibility, this man shows us anti-gravity on camera in the film. He shows us how it works. He has been following UFO research for decades, and he's saying that Boeing Convair in 1959 had developed successful nuclear-powered flying saucers. I mean, he's showing us on camera. You'll see things levitating on the camera, and that we reverse engineered it from flying saucers.
Can't
That is smoking gun proof.
Let me take, well, okay, we'll see it. What about the deathbed confession of Lieutenant Walter Hout, the public affairs officer? What did he tell you?
Well, Walter Hout's testimony, which has just been released, comes from 2002. He's saying that he actually saw the craft itself, which he didn't believe was from this world, and that the there were alien bodies that were covered, you know, in the kind of body bags. But Boyd Bushman also testified that this pilot, when he landed his plane, they had three aliens in captivity, and one of them was running around at large somewhere, so he was alive. He was running around in the landscape.
All right, but a lot of people will find that hard to believe, David. I mean, a lot of people just do not believe in UFOs. What do you say to them and those who are a skeptic and cynical?
You have to look at the evidence. You have to treat this like a court case. You have to really, the deeper you get into this Roswell mystery, you know, you go back to Kenneth Arnold's sighting in June 24th, 1947 at Yakima, Washington. He's flying his airplane, and he's seeing chevron-shaped flying saucers going 1,800 miles an hour, you know, just after World War II. Nobody else could fly that fast. And then a United Airlines pilot in western Idaho sees the same thing. And then on the 4th of July, Independence Day in Portland, Oregon, all the papers ran the story that everyone saw 9 flying saucers over Portland.
We're going to have to leave it there, David. The documentary is from here to Andromeda if you want more information.
So what do you guys think? I actually like David Sirita. I think he brings some valid points sometimes when he talks about these UFOs. You should check out some of his videos on Google. Just Google video David Sirita, S-E-R-E-D-A. And you'll see quite a few videos that he's got out there, and you should check him out. Definitely do that. Yeah, if you notice that the audio there changed for a second, there's a reason for that. I was using a different program, and I just discovered Audacity. I'm trying to figure it out, so bear with me. Like I said, I'm still new at all this. We all start somewhere. And I mean, not that I plan to do this all the time or anything like that, but it's hard work. I just figured that out by myself, so I appreciate all the podcasters' work. You know, you guys do an excellent job, and I can see why it can take so long sometimes to get an episode out. Anyway, carrying on. So I received an email from Ordero Terai. He's a friend of mine on AIM. He's also a Mysterious Universe listener. And he basically tells me about this little story that happened to him about a week ago. He said that he was listening to the Illumination Project, and you guys are familiar with that. And I believe it was the interviewee who was saying that he saw these two beings in his mind, and I'm not going to say the names of them, because supposedly Benjamin Grundy from Mysterious Universe said if you write down the names, it could disturb another dimension. So he went ahead and wrote down these two names, and again, I'm not going to write them down, I'm not going to say them. If you're interested, you can listen to the Illumination Project. And he says that he wrote them down on a paper, and immediately after turning off his light to go to sleep later that day, he started seeing giant evil-looking eyeballs with arteries and veins still attached. And whenever he closed his eyes, they were still there. It was not in his own eye, of course, he says. These were unnatural purple and blue eyeballs just drifting around in my view as his, I'm quoting, as my eyes were closed, simply just that. When he opened his eyes in shock, he noticed there were three humanly shapes in the dark. He could see no facial features, and they didn't appear to be move very fast. But they did, however, seem to have a masculine shape and posture. Man, that's kind of scary. And he says that one was hovering near the end of his bed, and the other one was on this bedside about 5 feet away. Can you imagine having that? That's creepy. And the last one seemed to be merged with the floor, and his torso and head sticking out of the rug. It's pretty insane. He says he reached to turn on the light, and then he saw one of those creepy eyeballs flash in and out of his view slowly, and it freaked him out. It's freaking me out. He decided to open a window and let some of the moonlight in. He turned off his lamp and went back to bed. When he closed his eyes, he saw the same damn eyeballs again. So once again, he opened his eyes, and this time he saw the three shadow men with the same eyeballs. Only this time, he was actually seeing those eyeballs in the eye sockets of those creatures. He says he hadn't seen them ever since then, except for this one incident where he was petting his dog, and all of a sudden he heard the word puppy screaming in his ears, and no one was even around, no one was at home or anything like that. That was just a crazy incident there. So thank you for sharing that with us, Ordero. I'm going to go ahead and stop there. I hope that this little show turns out okay. Like I said, I'm still new to this. Thank you to Audacity for letting me use a free program. And maybe next time I'll have some actual good information, and I'll throw in some music and all that. I just subscribed to IOTA Promonet. So we'll see what I can do. The family's back home, so I can't really be talking like I was. So anyway, I'm going to quit there, and thank you guys. Oh, I'd like to give a shout-out to TJ from the 13 Skulls podcast. You should check them out. It's www.skulls.podomatic.com. Check him out. And also, if you listen to the first show that I did, or the little blurb, I did mention that I had some pictures up. I didn't mention the website. Go to http://mysteriousuniverse.ning.com and sign up. Benjamin Grinnell will let you in. And look for me, Soul EJ, and you'll find the links and the pictures on there. Again, thanks for listening, and have a good day.